Airlines battle a recession and now the swine flu. Embry-Riddle applauds the release of bird strike data. And winners of the Lindbergh grants are announced. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, April 28, 2009. The outbreak of swine flu is something the airline industry really could have done without. In the U.S. so far, the outbreak is confined mainly to six states, with no severe symptoms noted. But yesterday, health officials in the European Union cautioned against any non-essential travel to the U.S. or Mexico. With the recession already pushing down demand on international routes faster than the airlines can adjust capacity, the swine flu outbreak threatens to leave even more seats empty. The Air Transport Association said yesterday it, quote, is working closely with the World Health Organization, the CDC, and other authorities to stay abreast of the situation and monitor any need for future adjustments to travel procedures. This is a time for appropriate precautions, but not panic, unquote. In Asia, where memories of SARS and bird flu are fresh, airline stocks are taking a beating. Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University is hailing the FAA's decision to release its bird strike database to the public. The school says it's played an instrumental role in gathering bird strike data since record-keeping began in 1990. Dr. Christina Frederick Recaschino, VP for Research and Federal Government Relations for the university, calls the release of the data an important step toward enhancing aviation safety. Quote, this commitment improves Embry-Riddle's and other key researchers' ability to share important data and to develop new or improved wildlife mitigation programs and ultimately save lives. We look forward to working with the FAA to find ways to improve and strengthen bird strike data reporting, unquote. The school also supports an NTSB recommendation to make reporting of bird strikes mandatory. The FAA had moved to block access to the data in February, in part because airports, which were diligent in reporting strikes, would look the worst in subsequent analyses, a disincentive to accurate reporting. The Lindbergh Foundation is awarding 8 grants to individuals around the world who are conducting research into innovative solutions to global environmental problems. Foundation Chairman John King of the King Schools explains, quote, by backing individuals who use scientific and educational innovations to address important environmental issues around the world, we're putting balance into action. It's gratifying to see the hard work and dedication of the researchers we support, knowing their work will benefit the world around us for generations to come, unquote. Applicants apply to one of 14 categories the Lindbergh Foundation offers. The 8 grants awarded in 2009 include one to help further Randall Fishman's work with electric-powered manned aircraft. Following his demonstration of the Electroflyer last year, Fishman is trying to develop a practical two-place electric airplane. Other awards went to researchers working with genetically modified crops, waste recycling, the effects of wind turbines on migratory birds, tuberculosis treatment, and other technologies. Charles Lindbergh was a relative unknown in 1927 when he went searching for sponsors to fund the building of the Spirit of St. Louis. The Lindbergh grant is set at $10,580. That's the eventual cost to build the Spirit of St. Louis. Find out more about this year's winners and the ongoing competition at www.lindberghfoundation.org. Up next on ANN, Lycoming chooses a test partner for its LSA engine. Airborne Laser Defense enters flight testing. And at least one defense contractor is on time and on budget. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits? That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approaches. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 28th. I'm Paul Plack. Lycoming has chosen TNT Aviation Incorporated of Washington, Pennsylvania, as the local final product development and flight test partner for its new entrant into the light sport engine market, the IO-233 LSA. TNT will test the engine in its Falcon aircraft, which was designed by Corvus Aircraft of Hungary and marketed internationally as the Phantom. The engine is based on the proven O-235 rotating assembly, but uses a new case design with roller tappets, a new sump and accessory housing, throttle body fuel injection, and electronic ignition. It will be rated at 115 horsepower at 2,800 RPM and in versions rated at 100, 90, or 80 horsepower to meet customer specs. At Economy Cruise, the IO233 LSA will burn just 3.6 gallons per hour and can use some automotive-based fuels. Lycoming expects to ship a limited number of non-certified IO233 LSAs to select partners by the end of 2009. The ray gun of science fiction is moving closer to science reality. Boeing, Northrop Grumman, Lockheed Martin, other industry teammates, and the U.S. Missile Defense Agency have begun flight testing of the ABL-747. ABL, for Airborne Laser, uses a heavily modified Boeing airliner equipped with a potent chemical oxygen iodine laser built by Northrop and beam control and firing systems provided by Lockheed. Last week's functional check flight was the first with the entire weapon system integrated aboard the plane. This phase of the program will demonstrate ABL's ability to detect, track, target, and engage progressively more difficult targets, culminating with a lethal demonstration against a boosting missile planned for later this year. Hitting such threats during their boost phase reduces the number of shots required by other elements of the layered ballistic missile defense system. ABL brings the unprecedented ability to counter an enemy's ballistic missile at the speed of light. It could also be used against surface-to-air missiles and enemy aircraft. The test flights of the integrated system follow last year's success in testing the system at high power levels for the very first time. Augusta Westland's Future Lynx helicopter has a new name. The new nomenclature, AW-159, is consistent with the rest of the company's product line. The new model builds on the heritage of the Lynx family, but offers much greater mission capability through improvements in performance, advanced avionics, and mission-specific equipment. The UK is committed to moving forward to full-scale production of the AW-159, which will perform a wide range of tasks including battlefield reconnaissance, maritime surface attack, and utility lift. 62 helicopters will be included in the initial procurement, 34 for the British Army and 28 for the Royal Navy. The company reports the program remains on time and on budget. Entry into service is expected in 2011. In a nod to its own heritage and nomenclature, the British military will call the AW-159 the Lynx Wildcat. Aircraft and Turbine Support Incorporated, located at Tulsa International Airport in Oklahoma, is planning a grand opening in the next few weeks for its multi-million-dollar expansion project. New additions and updates include a remodeled terminal, a corporate aviation complex with rentable executive office space, and a 22,000-square-foot storage hangar. General Manager Joe Cole says the project struck a balance. Quote, "Our facility is spacious, but it's not overwhelming. We've built an FBO that delivers the ultimate level of comfort without the golden marble everywhere in order to maintain low fuel prices and keep overall costs down." Unquote. Aircraft and Turbine Support specializes in away-from-base maintenance for Challenger, Falcon, Lear, Hawker, and Westwind aircraft. Find out more and check out the pictures of the new digs at www.aircraftturbine.com. Still ahead, the sun sets on T-37 training. The FAA works to find a way to let UAVs fly with the rest of us. And GPS notwithstanding, pilotage is a great thing to know. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, April 28th. I'm Paul Plack. A 25-year-old native of Salem, New Jersey, has become the last student to train in the U.S. Air Force's T-37 Tweet Simulator at Shepherd Air Force Base. Second Lieutenant Evan Negrin flew the sim last week while participating in the Euro-NATO Joint Jet Pilot Training Program, the world's only multinationally run undergraduate pilot training organization. Quote, "I really feel blessed and fortunate to be in the last T-37 class. I think it's neat to be part of a legacy," unquote. That simulator's legacy dates back 27 years, and the T-37 jet trainer itself goes back a half century. Wolfgang Ruhl, a former German pilot and instructor, became the last to instruct in the Tweet simulator. He calls the retirement of the type bittersweet, but understandable, given the simplicity and maintenance advantages of the newer T-6A Texan II. Still, he says of the 37, quote, "This is the most reliable, safest trainer. This lasted for more than 50 years," unquote. The FAA says it expects to have new policies for air traffic control ready next year, but we're not talking about next gen. The commitment from the FAA follows last month's two-day summit on drones in U.S. airspace, held at the Northern Command in Colorado Springs. The military, which has become accustomed to using unmanned aerial vehicles at will in combat theaters, has been frustrated by the inability to use them domestically in support of firefighting and other applications. The FAA won't let that happen until they can sense and avoid other aircraft. The Associated Press reports that during last year's California wildfires, Global Hawks operated by the Navy and Air Force had to be flown at separate times from a NASA drone due to a lack of ability to ensure they didn't collide with each other or manned aircraft transiting the airspace. The current system of shutting down chunks of the national airspace to allow the use of drones in border patrol or support for emergency responders has prompted abuse concerns among civilian aviation interests, especially given recent disruptive mandates by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. Experts say technology which would allow automating the 360-degree see and avoid requirement of the FAA may be a decade away from practical use. And finally, if you're going to fly VFR near the U.S. Capitol, you better be able to see and avoid. Brush up on those pilotage skills and know the landmarks. The Associated Press reports a GA pilot suffered a GPS failure while flying with his wife to visit their daughter, and wound up in restricted airspace with his Cessna 180 on Friday. The White House was put in temporary lockdown, President Obama was briefly relocated, and pilot William Wales drew an escort from two F-16s and two Coast Guard helicopters. Wales, who's described as scared to death, was detained and interrogated by the Secret Service at the Indian Head Airport in Charles County, Maryland. Airport owner Gil Bowserman told the AP, quote, "It was just a navigation mistake. This has happened many times. The restricted zone in D.C., all it does is catch poor innocent people. They've never caught a terrorist. It's just people making a mistake," unquote. Hey, Gil, if you're opening the topic of security theater in 21st century America, all I can say is don't get us started. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Cessna CEO Jack Pelton comments on his company's ad campaign to fight recent negative images of general aviation being pushed by politicians and general media. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.